Live from the grave of Frank Lloyd Wright in Scottsdale, Arizona, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, parent, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers. A man who has never killed anyone with a baseball bat, Richard J. Ringhausen. And special guest host, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers, musician, mail carrier, swimmer, amateur llamalophoniest, and the first team grappler for the U.S. Post Office Traveling Alligator Wrestling Squad. A man who sometimes does his own laundry, Bradford J. Ringhausen. And last but not least, daredevil, marksman, sculptor, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who knows all the words to Dunkershine. The youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
That was the most horrible mispronunciation of Dunkershine I've ever heard.
Well, you know.
You ain't got no German in you at all, do you?
Not much, I guess. Hey, do we have a guest here, too?
I detect a presence that I haven't felt in a while.
I know. Are you really the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers, or is there another one?
The presence you feel is not Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's Ringhausen brother Brad, also on board.
Dr. Ferd to you.
Welcome aboard, Dr. Ferd.
Hey, yeah, Brad. Yes, Brad, sir. How'd your day go today?
Well, it's not getting any better.
Oh, really? This sounds like a story. What's wrong with your day, Dr. Ferd?
Well, I dumped diesel all over every piece of clothing I had, and then I went to wash them all. Halfway through the cycle, realized didn't put any detergent in.
How'd you come to have diesel dumped all over you?
He did it on purpose. He thinks it's going to be fashionable.
It's got to smell better than me.
I agree.
So
what happened?
What? Oh, trying to dump. Well, the first time was putting the diesel jugs into the back of my pickup, and I hit it on the tailgate, and it sloshed all over me on my sweatshirt, and then. Dumping the diesel into the tractor, it dripped all over my shoes and my pants.
Call the funnel, Brad.
So I'm just sitting here naked while my clothes are washing.
Hey, Brad,
okay. We're
going to
make sure we turn the video off now.
I'm trying to get video. I can't get it. I guess that's why.
Well, welcome aboard. Did you hear the intro about Frank Lloyd Wright's house?
Did I? No, I did. I late to the party. Late to the party.
Okay. Well, let me tell him how that started.
Go ahead.
I called Rick up. We were talking about something else, and I had watched the night before. I watched a movie, like an old Western, and it featured Ann Baxter. And
oh, wow.
I'd never seen Ann Baxter in anything other than the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. That's
Moses.
Right.
Moses.
Moses.
Settle down, Rick. Anyway, I look up Ann Baxter, and she died in her early 60s from some kind of old movie disease.
I think it was heavy smoking is what they call it.
Yeah. Anyway, in her list of relatives, she is the granddaughter of Frank Lloyd Wright.
Huh.
The designer.
She's the granddaughter of Frank Lloyd Wright?
Yeah. That's correct.
I thought Frank Lloyd Wright was wasn't that old, but
nah,
I guess
he's pretty old.
Extremely old.
He was like turn of the century old.
Yeah, he was born in the 1800s.
So you're saying he's dead?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the show is coming from his gravesite in Scottsdale, Arizona.
He's as dead as Julius Caesar.
Dead as a hammer.
Dead as Moses.
Anyway, Frank Lloyd Wright, I don't know if you've ever read anything at all. He was a wonderful architect. You know, he created some fantastic things.
Didn't he do that house like it's built over a stream or something with water running through it?
I thought he created beef jerky.
No, that's his brother.
Oh,
Festus
Bob
Wright.
Lloyd Wright. Slim.
You say you've been to
Slim.
You've been to Falling Water, Alan?
I've been to the Falling Water house.
Really? Is it worth the trip, or is it interesting or not? I mean, it's cool on the outside. I didn't know what it looks like on the inside.
It's fantastically cool on the outside, and the setting where it exists is awesome. And the beauty of that particular house, it has all of the original furniture that Frank Lloyd Wright himself designed.
He designed furniture, too.
Yep.
Did you know that later in life he also was a clothes designer?
You asking me? I do know the water house. I do know what house you're talking about, though.
And for me,
waterfall runs through the bottom of the house. Yeah.
For me personally, I only wear clothes designed by Frank Lloyd Wright.
I like his ties. I like his ties.
You know, after Alan told me about Frank Lloyd Wright, I kind of looked him up. There is a guy who lived a bizarre life is the only way to describe it. You know, one of the houses that he built, and maybe it was Falling Water, he's commissioned to build a house for a couple. And he runs off with the guy's wife, like to Europe.
Well, I think he ran off with more than one guy's wife.
I think Frank Lloyd Wright liked the perks that came with his business.
Yeah.
I didn't know architects were such players.
And his students hated him.
Yeah, because they were the ones who were going to run off with wives. You know, it's interesting, Frank Lloyd Wright having three names, you know, like Lee Harvey Oswald or...
Alan Joseph Ringhausen.
Yeah, he beat me to it.
John Wilkes Booth, Frank Lloyd Wright. But that woman that he ran off to Europe with, he finally came back to Illinois, I think, and built a house.
Isn't that in Wisconsin?
Oh, you're right. He, Frank Lloyd Wright.
He named it Taliesin.
Yeah. And Brad, are you aware of the story of Frank Lloyd Wright's house?
Which one? I mean.
Well, it's the main one that was not only his house, it was a compound, and it was also a school for architects.
Okay.
So you're talking about the house that he lived in, not like the water house that he designed.
The house that he lived in, which was also cool.
Called Taliesin.
So, Alan, tell him what happened there, which is an interesting story.
So, anyway, he's away from the house, but one of his workers was disgruntled and started killing his family and staff with an axe. Killed six of them with an axe.
Set fire to the house, and apparently... Well, first off, he started off with Frank Lloyd Wright's mistress, the one that he ran off to Europe with,
caved her head
in with an axe and then killed her kids with an axe, and then set fire to the house and proceeded to kill people as they came out the windows of the house with an axe.
Wow. He was dedicated, man.
Oh, yeah. Killed like six people.
And then took swallowed some kind of acid to kill himself.
Hydrochloric acid.
Okay.
But he lived. And
really?
The sheriff showed up, you know, when the whole place is on fire and they get reports of people being killed with an axe. They show up and arrest this guy just as a mob is getting ready to lynch him.
After he drank acid.
After he drank the acid. So the sheriff keeps the guy from being hung, drags him to a prison cell in the town, nearest town, where he dies of starvation because he couldn't eat after drinking hydrochloric acid.
Yeah, the version I read first off said that the guy, the killer, had died of a hunger strike. I'm thinking, once you drink hydrochloric acid, a hunger strike's not that hard of a thing to carry off, is it?
Yeah, once you don't have a stomach anymore, yeah.
Wow, of all the ways that you could decide you're going to go, boy, that's farther down my list.
Yeah.
Drinking acid.
Wow.
Were you burned by acid or something?
Yeah, if I was going to drink myself to death, I'd do it like the guy from Leaving Las Vegas.
I thought that's how you were going to do. I thought in your teen years, that's how you were going.
Now he's waiting until he's 80 to smoke himself to death.
You got that right.
Going to take it all up. Frank Lloyd Wright came back and rebuilt that house and lived in it with a different wife.
And not only did he do that, but he built another one out in Arizona. I want to say Scottsdale or someplace like that. And he called it Taliesin West.
Yeah. And
I bet he went with fire extinguishers instead of axes around the house.
I'm guessing he screened his workers a little closer after that, too.
Do whatever you want. I won't be around today.
Axe murderer. You know, that's a heck of... If you're going to become a murderer, to begin, axe murderer...
What do you got? Lizzie Borden, the guy, Jack Nicholson, The Shining. He was an axe. He used an axe. He was trying to kill him with an axe. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know many.
Yeah, and that was fictional. I mean, Lizzie Borden, I guess, was real.
But, other than Bob from work.
All right. So, well, wait a minute. Also, what was the movie that took place up north, Nebraska? Steve Buscemi gets killed with an axe.
Fargo.
Fargo. Yeah. He gets killed with an axe.
Some axe killing going on there too. You know, Frank Lloyd Wright.
No, shovel. He just got smacked with a shovel and then shoved into a wood chipper.
Frank Lloyd Wright's will specified that he be buried up in Wisconsin next, I guess, on the grounds of this house where his first lover got
axed. I wouldn't think that would be the fond memory that would draw me back.
I wouldn't think so either. But in any event, after he died, they buried him there.
The thought of being interred in Wisconsin is enough to drive you crazy.
His final wife, though, had him dug up after he's dead and shipped him body down to Scottsdale, Arizona, and buried him there against his wishes.
I think that Dr. Frankenfurter also killed Eddie with an axe.
Oh, yeah.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Do you know, here's a true fact for you. You like true facts. Do you know that Frank Lloyd Wright's son invented Lincoln Logs?
I don't buy that.
I'm going to say yes.
100% true. And I'm saying think that the kid made more money off Lincoln Logs than Frank Lloyd Wright made designing houses.
Yeah, maybe. And his commission had to be pretty big in the Guggenheim.
What'd Lincoln get out of it?
Lincoln? He got killed by a guy with three names, too.
Sure enough.
Bradford Joseph Ringhausen.
Postal worker.
Any day now. Why he was dousing himself with diesel today. He's going to be like one of those Hindu monks.
He was getting ready to go after he kills these people with an axe.
There's no axes in our building. I already looked.
What, in the post office?
Yeah.
I assume they lock them all up, don't they?
Yeah. Check your guns at the doors. Although, here's an interesting fact. They had a meeting the other day at work.
When you say they, who's they?
The supervisors at the post office.
At the United States Post Office.
United States Post Office, you can now legally walk into any U.S. Post Office with a firearm.
Oh,
you can't walk into any other government building, but you can walk into any U.S. post office with a firearm.
I thought you guys already did that.
I'm sitting here thinking, really? Our building? Us? You want to get that snowball going down the hill? Ooh, I don't know.
Arm the postal workers?
Now we're not allowed to carry them. But anybody can walk into it's the new Second Amendment thing. So
but on your day off you could.
No. We're not allowed to do that then either. But any customer that's unhappy, and trust me, there's plenty of those.
Especially on your route.
I'm like, wow, the one business in America that has more upset customers, it seems like, than, except maybe McDonald's.
You can carry a gun into McDonald's.
Can you?
I don't know. I'm just saying
you can
that.
In Florida.
Well, Florida.
So Brad, I got a question for you. During this government shutdown thing, are you getting a paycheck?
Yes, sir.
Are you an essential employee?
The United States Post Office.
You're a quasi-governmental agency.
Yes. None of our contrary to popular belief, taxpayer money does not pay our salaries. All of our money comes from the sale of stamps and the sale of parcels and stuff like that.
You don't laugh at the public trough?
Nope. Not at this current moment. But the interesting thing is that Congress can take any profits that the post office makes and reallocate those funds to wherever they want to put them. Because we're still a government agency.
I thought you were going to say that you could walk into any post office in America, buy a big box, and have yourself mailed someplace.
I thought that's where he was going also.
You can't do that anymore either.
Could you ever?
Well, yes,
how
absolutely.
Would you know if someone brings a crate in and shoves it off there? How do you know if there's someone in it waiting to be shipped?
They're x-rayed.
Well, because the clerk at the counter asks, and sure everybody's very honest.
What if it's a liar?
Well, there's no liars out there. What are you talking about? Yeah, there's a whole list of things that you can ask. Fragile, perishable items, liquid or human.
But you can ship animals, can't you?
Insects. Some,
for sure.
Like chickens, you can ship a chicken, I know that.
Alive?
Yes.
Let's start off that way.
Yeah, we have chickens come through the building once in a while.
No kidding.
Yeah, we had a rooster.
Do any of them leave the building?
We had a rooster in a box, probably about 4 or 5 months ago, and he would crow. He was crowing all day. It was an interesting thing.
Until the box got dropped down the stairs.
Did you see in the news the story about the truck that tipped over down south?
No.
And the monk that was hauling monkeys?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, a whole bunch of, and they were like diseased monkeys.
Okay. They recaptured all but one, and they said, don't approach it because, it's a wild animal, and
it's infected.
It might be carrying an infectious disease.
So you've got a truckload of diseased monkeys. That you've decided to ship someplace, which kind of begs the question of where are you shipping diseased monkeys? Obviously, you didn't put them in the post office.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everglades.
The end of that story said that they euthanized the last one.
Oh, I thought there was still one out there.
He got euthanized.
Yeah.
All monkeys.
Well, I'm not going to run up to a monkey anyway. I'm not worried about the infectious disease. I just don't want them throwing poop at me.
Prisoners, not monkeys.
When I saw that story, I just thought that was going to be a fake news story. And there's actually video. There's like a news helicopter that took video of monkeys like scrambling out of this turned over truck and like running around it.
Yeah, it looks like a prison movie, a prison escape movie.
It sounds like it's being driven by a monkey.
You know, we discussed this whole business of the monkey farm once before, but I didn't know they were testing like serious diseases. I mean, these monkeys supposedly had like COVID and AIDS, and they were like a sampler platter of diseases.
Typhoid and Black Death, and yeah.
Oh.
Let me ask this. If they had that many different diseases among them, how are they still alive?
Well, I guess they weren't going to be alive real long after that.
Okay.
I guess they were fresh out of the gate infected.
And after you infected a bunch of monkeys, why would you load them on a truck and take them someplace else? That doesn't sound like a very good business plan.
No, and especially if you're a truck driver, you know. Obviously, he got bitten on the way, you know, and lost control of the truck.
Is that what happened?
I think there wasn't enough room in the back, so they put a few in the cab.
Bitten by a contagious monkey.
But they were the bigger, well-behaved animals. They didn't expect trouble there, you know. Just set the chimp up in the passenger seat and gave him a pack of smokes and said, we going? He said, enjoy your cigarettes on this drive because it's all you're going to get when you get where you're going.
Well, there's a... You talk about the animals on the loose. There was a guy a couple, maybe about 10 years ago now. It's like over in Ohio. And he had all of these exotic animals, and he turned them loose.
Like that's the first time that ever happened. That happened in the very county lions that we lived in.
He had like lions and tigers. And
bears, oh my.
He just turned them loose.
That happened in Jersey County, Illinois.
No.
Yes.
What? Escaped animals?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, our neighbor.
That was down by Rosedale. Not Rosedale, Nutwood.
Really?
Go ahead and tell your story.
They should put a net around all of Nutwood anyway. But
it was Hayden's Bear Farm. And this guy raised exotic animals and sold them to like sideshows or different things like that. But he had bears, and I think he had mountain lion. I don't know what all different animals he had. But anyway, he died. And his son, who had one hobby, and it was not raising exotic animals, and he turned all the animals loose, hopped in his car, and drove to California. So then for weeks on end, people were killing all kinds of stuff in that neighborhood.
More than normal for Nutwood.
Awesome.
Yeah, like one of the neighbors is in his house watching TV at night, and he hears a noise, and he looks over at the window, and there's a black bear with his nose pressed against the window.
And you don't expect that in southern Illinois.
No, so the guy goes outside, shoots the bear with a high-powered rifle, and then out of fear that he's going to get in trouble, gets out his tractor and scoop and digs a giant hole and buries the bear in it.
I thought you were going to say, eats it as fast as he can.
You know, if...
What's interesting is he had fear of anybody knowing about it, and yet he told somebody and everybody else in the neighborhood knew.
I think self-defense, I think you'd be all right shooting the bear.
There's a reason it's called Nutwood.
I mean, you can shoot people in self-defense, so I'm sure you can shoot a bear that's attacking you.
Like that's not far from Otterville.
If a flock of eagles came down and started attacking you, you'd have the legal right to defend yourself against them, wouldn't you?
That's what I told them in court, and they wouldn't believe it.
I told you that I saw a bald eagle laying by the side of the road that got hit by a car down in Florida, didn't I?
Yeah, just walk away, Rick. Just don't even go up there.
Well, you're always saying that you want any time I run over something, I'm supposed to bring you the skull. Although I didn't bring you the skull of that skunk last week.
I just want to go online, go on record that I've never said that to anyone ever.
What's that? To cut the head off anything? No, I know you didn't. I would think that Brad was the one that told me to do that.
Yeah, that makes much more sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's see here. Sorry, I'm scrolling my phone.
So anyway, Ann Baxter's grandfather is Frank Lloyd Wright.
How old are you now that you're repeating yourself that badly?
And, she was the granddaughter by an affair that he had, another affair.
Oh, right.
He was the dude. I don't know when he found time to work.
This is the gal who played Nefertiti, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do it, Rick. Say it again.
Moses. The greatest bit of overacting in the history of the cinema.
Except for whenever he parts the Red Sea and the gals lay it on the rocks.
Oh, those three women, yeah. That's pretty good, too. Yeah, that's pretty good, too.
Ooh. Yeah.
Boy, you know, Lori, tell the story about Charlton Heston when they were actually shooting that scene.
I don't know the story of Charlton Heston shooting that scene.
He was all dressed up as Moses, and he's parting the Red Sea, and he stops in the middle of it and asks Cecil B. DeMille, what's my motivation for this scene?
He did not.
Yes, he did. That's a fact.
That's a giant lie.
He told me himself before he died.
Jesus.
You damn dirty director.
That was the final scene of the Ten Commandments, wasn't it? When the Red Sea parted and it was just the remains of the Statue of Liberty sticking up there.
That was it.
I thought so.
You blew it up!
Guys, I hate to tell you, but it's that time.
No, it's not.
It is. Okay. Pretty much. So, if it is that time, see you later from Rick Gator.
Brad Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Dim's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator and sometimes Brad Gator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production, except no substitutes. Hot tamales.